I'm glad to see everybody here. We got Joe and Kathy Zayas here with us. And if you guys don't know them, I've known them as long as I've been in New York, which is over 31 years. We met them. We first moved to Queens in 87, and they were coming to the Bible talk, and it's just so good to have both of them. Joe serves as a judge, and so behave yourself. Kathy serves as a nurse, so she can heal whatever you got. All right, so this couple really brings some stuff to the table here. It's so good to see you guys. Good to have everyone. We have a lot of friends and family here, and thank you so much for just being with us. Got a question for you guys. What do you need? I know how that is. I need. Oh, my goodness. I need my youth to come back so I can just jump out of bed and say, hello, world. Whereas now when I jump out of bed, it's like, please don't throw anything out of place. All right, I got to get to church here. You know, there are a lot of things. I'm sure a lot of things probably came to your mind. Boy, I need this. I need, you know, stuff for my kids. I need stuff for my health. I need stuff for my family. Need this to happen in my job. And need is just a way of life, right? I mean, it's things that happen. But I want to take us to probably the most basic need of all. And I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16, Paul writes, the young evangelist, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, sometimes this passage can bounce off of those of us in here that are disciples, because we've read this a lot of times, but we usually read this to help other people, which there's nothing wrong with that at all. Keep doing that, right? But we do that so that people will understand what is the source of faith. How do we understand God? Who is He? What does He want? We believe God has spoken, and God has revealed to us what His will is. Life is not a, well, I don't know what all is going to go on. No, God has a will. And so we get people to read the scripture so that they will say, you know what? Whatever this says, that I will do, not because you say so, but because God has said so. It becomes a common ground to be able to teach. If I sit down with someone and they say, well, I really don't believe in the scriptures, then, hey, let's go, you know, shoot pool or do something else, because studying the Bible with you is not going to really help because it's not authoritative to you. So there's nothing, you know, we'll go through a study, but you'll say, hey, don't believe that, don't believe that. So it really doesn't do any good. But when you do believe it is the Word of God, yes, now your attention is arrested, now your focus is engaged, and now you're ready to see what it says. But I want to take it beyond that to today. Every single one of us, disciple, those visiting, those studying, your greatest need is the Word of God. Yes, your greatest need is God, the Creator Himself, but see, God has left His Word to tell you everything about Himself, to tell you about His Son, about His Spirit. So right now, your greatest need is the Word of God. What God has said, says today, and will always say. And I want us to really think about that. Deb and I, as we talk with people and we get together for discipling and counseling, sometimes it amazes us how sporadic people's time is with the Lord. It's amazing. I am a Christian, but I spend time with them, you know, X amount, a few times a week. Now, we say we pray as we go. Try building a marriage or a friendship on that. I'm just, as I kind of see, I'll talk or mention a couple things and go on, you know. You need some focused time, right? You need focused time to listen. Because usually as we're going throughout our day and praying, it's give me this, give me that, give me that. It's not much of a relationship. It's kind of a butler service or something like that. And so all of a sudden, people find themselves in trouble spiritually. It's hard for me to believe. I'm just, my marriage is going, my kids, what's going on here? Bad things are happening to me. Bad things are always going to happen to us in a fallen world, right? But what do I do? What do I do? And we get frantic and we live a life of reaction, our emotions, everything takes over. And it's like, stop! God has spoken. And He's speaking every day. And He's wanting us to engage and connect with Him. So I want to take us back to some convictions. Why do you today, why do I, 44 years following the Lord, why do I need the Word of God right now for me? Number one, it is my origin. The Word of God is the source of everything I am and I have and I hope to be. In John the 6th chapter, when you go there, Jesus has just finished engaging the crowd in this discussion and basically talking about the type of life it is following him that, you know, you have to feed on me. You have to be so involved with me. You know, there is no disconnect. I am your food. My flesh is real food for you. You have got to pursue me and depend on me. And people are getting confused. Wow, this sounds really weird. And Jesus has this statement to say to them. And unfortunately, many didn't accept it and walked away from him. But he says in verse 61 of John 6, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. God's word is life. How do we do this thing called life? How do we live? What are the right values, priorities, things like that? What goes on? We all have moods. We have emotions. Things happen. If there's not instruction, how do we live? You see, you and I need revelation. I'm not just talking about the book of Revelations. We need that too. But revelation is the whole fact that God had to reveal his will to us. Sheridan wasn't going to figure it out on his own. You know what I have? I've got my emotions, I've got my mood, and I've got my limited perspective. And boy, that is a recipe for disaster if I'm all by myself. I can walk away, well, this is the way I live my life, and that's fine. But everyone around is going, what a mess. What a mess. You know why? God has revealed to me how to live. What do I do with emotions, moods? What's beyond the perspective I have? What's a direction that needs my, for lack of a better term, North Star that the sailors would use for orientation, that no matter how the storm's going, everything, there's North Star, keep going. God has to reveal that to me. Otherwise, I'm on my own. I couldn't figure out salvation. Look at all the attempts that humans come up with. I'll just do good deeds. I'll just come to church. I'll just do all these things that are good in and of themselves, but they don't save a soul. Something else has to happen. The words he has spoken to us are spirit and they are life. Look at what Peter says, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 23. Peter says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about, okay, born again, that's, you know, repenting, being baptized into Christ. That's absolutely true. But you know whose idea that was? It wasn't mine. It wasn't yours, was it? It had to be revealed to us. And you think, how in the world could something like water do it? Water doesn't do a thing. But you can't do it without the water. So how does all that work? God reveals that he does something when we respond that way. But guess what? All of the water in the world won't save an unconverted heart. I am born again. What that means is I want to do totally different than I have been doing. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to be becoming more and more the person he wants me to be and less the person I used to be. You see, especially here in America, we get socialized on how to be a Christian. We get socialized from a secular society. They will allow you to be a Christian, but keep it to yourself. Go to church, and all of a sudden, if you do all these things, everyone pats you on the back. If you dare to take a stand, if you'll pardon my Southern, the fur begins to fly. you don't do it out of being self-righteous. But if you just say, well, I don't go along with that, all of a sudden, boom, we have people in here right now who lost job because they wouldn't go along with something that was unethical. Other people, family members, are saying, hey, do it, do it, do it. Oh, you know, as long as you don't take part, it's okay. They said, no, no. You know why? They belong to Christ. They're not going to do that. America says you can do that and compromise, just be a good religious person and all of that. But we don't do that. God reveals to me the origin. That is, what he has said goes. I was born and raised in the South. They call that the Bible Belt. Doesn't matter what my culture is. Doesn't matter at all. I have seen some of the most atrocious stuff done in the Bible Belt of any place. Do I lean on that? No. I'm born again of the Word of God. God has spoken. He's revealed to me. I need to be eager, eager to listen. Secondly, it's not only my origin, it's my sustenance. It sustains me. He didn't just save me. He keeps me being saved and growing in this character and this salvation. Look over in James chapter 1. James 1. This is something I desperately need. Sometimes people look at baptism as, wow, he made it, she made it, isn't that great? Oh, no, no, no. Those are the starting blocks. That's the starting gun. The pistol's gone off. Now the race begins. And now you're really heading with a direction, with a values, with priorities, with what God wants to you. Now you've started. So you're just off to the races right there. In James chapter 1. Verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Do you ever stop and just think God desires a righteous life? We know that, but think about the fact he desires a righteous life. When he looks at me, he's desiring that Sheridan has a righteous life. He isn't just desiring, hope it works out, boy. You know, do the best you can. I desire righteous life. What's going to torpedo that? Anger. Undealt with anger. Well, how's that happen? It's when I am not quick to listen, when I am very quick to speak, and when I'm very quick to get angry, then all of a sudden I'm doing things that go against that righteous life. The end result won't be a righteous life. That's a recipe for an unrighteous life, right? So God's saying, look, you know, think about this. I want you to have a righteous life. Then he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. He is writing to Christians. He's not writing to non-Christians, telling them, here's how to be saved. He's writing to the church, to Christians. He goes, humbly, humbly receive this word, which was planted in you. Why? It will save your soul. It will sustain you. It keeps you going. And he says very practically, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Wow. What good is it to have the Word of God and not do it? What good? It's absolutely no good. Now, you can be socialized. Why don't you become a Bible scholar? Learn all the Bible, but the kicker is don't do a thing with it. Satan does not mind you becoming a Bible scholar just as long as you don't put any of it into practice. Have all the knowledge in the world. And James is saying, don't deceive yourself. Brothers, sisters, come on. This Word that you humbly receive can save you, but if you don't do anything with it, why did God reveal it in the first place? It does nothing for life, does it? Years ago, many years ago, when I was at the University of Florida, I took an elective that I always wanted to take, fencing. Okay? I loved pirate movies, you know? I thought they were so cool, so I wanted to learn some of that. Fencing is not really pirate movie stuff, all right? It would be fun because we'd have to do all these little, you know, things like that. But if the instructor left the room, then we could swashbuckle and do all the stuff we saw in the movies. But the whole point of fencing, it is an art. And you can't swashbuckle. Because the minute you kind of open yourself up, boom, they get you. So it's not like you can just, you know, they start coming at you, well, I'm just going to knock this out of the way like that. Because then they pretend, then they come around, boom, and get you again. So what they tell you is you need to parry. And to parry, when an opponent attacks you and comes thrust, a parry is not a big movement. Because the minute you do a big movement, they'll come around and get you. So a parry is a slight movement of defense. It's boom, boom. To allow the foil just to go right on either side of you, and then you can lunge. You don't do a big movement because that leaves you open. It's a slight, but see, it's so slight, it's subtle. We parry the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We know what we ought to do, but there's a subtle little shift. Maybe it's the parry of maturity. You know, I've been a disciple so long, I kind of know this. I know what's expected, so we no longer do the things that we claim to believe. Maybe it's the parry of growing. Well, I'm growing. So it's almost like there's a process, but we never do anything. But that's a nice little subtle, I'm growing, spiritual sounding, right? Boom, little parry. Maybe it's the parry of logic. I agree. Wayne, that scripture that you talked with me about, that you think I need to, I agree everything that you say about that. But I don't do anything with it. But the fact I logically agree, I see it, just as long as I don't do it. What parry is it that we use in our lives? And there's so many more where God has spoken. Why? To change me. To change me. I should not be the same person. I love how Daniel prays that. When we have our time to set our minds for worship, God, help us to be different people when we leave than when we came. That needs to be every day of our life. It needs to be every time we assemble as a worship. Yeah, but that needs to be every day of my life. God, as I wake up in the morning, give thank you that I'm alive here today. There's so much good and there's so much bad going on. Help me to be different at the end of the day than I am right now. Help me to be more who you want me to be than I am right now. But that will not come unless I actually do the Word of God. I seek it out, I see it, and boom, I put it into practice. You know why? In God's perspective, he's speaking to me. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will enjoy. Do this and you will overcome. You don't see it, but he's orchestrating everything. It's a beginning. It's a sustaining. But one other thing. We need the Word of God. Why? In order to help one another. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. I lost the book of Colossians, guys. Please excuse me. Somebody might have stolen. Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. That's not a little, you know, a little bit at a time. I'm not against little devotional readings, little booklets that people have. Read a scripture and go on, you know, okay, that's great. But if we're doing something just to get through and we don't want to dwell on us richly, we got a problem. There is a problem, Houston. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be the ones that love the Word of God. Reveal your will to me. Help me know how to live, how to be, what I can do. Please, God, that's the people of God. The atheists or agnostic, they don't do that, right? They're living their own life according to their own things, and that's their choice. We claim to be Christians. How in the world can we have a little bit of the Word? Now, I'm not talking about amount of time. I'm talking about how deeply we take it in. And so what's the result of that? If I really am a Christian, it dwells in me richly as I teach and admonish one another. I want to dwell in me richly so I can help Daniel and Kashan and Joe and go all the way around. Jim, you know, so when I'm talking, I have something that comes from a divine source, not just me. Something that I've experienced, I'm passing on. I'm never original. I have no original bone in me, guys. I've stolen everything from God, you know. Any wisdom. But that's all of us. But why is it that all of a sudden we aren't letting it dwell in us richly? In my life, either too lazy, too busy, or too gone. Too lazy? Man, I just don't want to. We'll always do what we want to do. There may be a time you need to stop. You need to pray to God, say, honestly, Father, my heart's not into this. I'm not even sure if I'm really believing in you anyway. Maybe I'm just talking to air or something. That's okay. Just say, please, deal with my heart. Please. I'd much rather someone hold on to one scripture and take it deeply and it become rich than to read an entire chapter of scriptures and go, check. Because they won't do a thing. And they certainly won't help anybody. This is supposed to be in me richly. So when I converse with you, and not just because I'm preaching. No, everybody. We're all priests. We're all ministers. We're all saints. We all need each other. But where do we come from in our conversations? Do we just talk about superficial stuff? Are we really trying to help people live a life of godliness in a world that's not? Really trying to follow Jesus? What does that mean in the 21st century? I need your help. Figure that out. I need for you to pray with me. I need for you to talk with me. But talk from the overflow of the Word of God and not People Magazine or News Channel or whatever. We need not to be socialized to be Western civilization's version of Christianity. We need to be Christians. Too lazy? Ask yourself, what is it I want? Too busy? You know what? You got to decide what's most important. Can you face life without God? You can exist without God for a while. Absolutely. A lot of people do that. Can you face? So whatever's busy, I need to unbusy, because this has got to be holy time that I get with him to live. Or just too gone. Maybe the heart's not there. Maybe it's so hard. Jesus told the parable of the sower, said the word's planted out there and it's on the path. I think, well, I'm not the path. I'm here at church all the time. I've been a path while I've been a disciple. It was being a disciple that I kind of hid behind rather than changing, rather than being who I needed to be. You know, I'm in all the activities, doing all that and the other, but man, I really wasn't changing. Hard. I was too gone at that point. And fortunately, I've had people come and confront me and get in there with my life so that once again, the heart gets soft, and once again, I can start letting it, you know, have an impact and be who I need to be. What do you need? You need the Word of God, and then we need to teach and admonish. Who is it that you're discipling and who's discipling you? You never outgrow that. Never outgrow that. Well, someone treated me wrong. Then they need to be rebuked and, if necessary, church discipline. Well, they're no longer here. Okay, looks like God took care of that. You still need to be taught how to obey. I still need to be taught how to obey. Guess what, folks? In a month, I'm going to be 64. I've never been a disciple at 64 before. In fact, I've never been a disciple at 63. I'm just kind of making my way through that right now. I've needed to be taught. There's a different thing. What do you do with grandchildren? What do you do with kind of adopted grandchildren? What do you do at this stage in life when, you know, how do you think about things? What do you do? I mean, all of a sudden, do I just go on what Sheridan thinks? Or do I say, help me, what have you learned? And I need somebody in whom the Word of Christ has dwelt richly to talk to me. Because that's what I want to hear. I don't want any, you know, soup up kind of worldly thing. Oh, just do this or just whatever. No, I want to know how to be God's man now in this situation. Do you want to do that where you are? God's man, God's woman. I don't care how long you've been or how short you've been. Do you really want that? I don't care how messed up you've been. I don't care how unmessed up you've been. None of that matters. Because today is October 21st, 2018. We all are still alive today, and we've got the rest of our lives ahead of us, okay? For some, that'll be a long time. For others, Not quite, all right? I don't double my age, okay? But bottom line, I've not been a disciple in this age yet. I need to be taught. So somebody, I need people, the Word of God dwelling richly, and so do you. So wrapping this up, what do you need? I'll tell you what you don't need. You don't need your life to go easier. Now, some of you are going through horrendous things, and please do not misunderstand me. I am there with you, and I love you, and I want to help bear those burdens. But removing all that is not what you need. You need to be stronger in those situations. You need for God Himself to come down in the midst of a lot of junk for Him to come up and shape something good. And make a statement to all creations, demons and angels alike. He's still the Lord God Almighty. He is sovereign. And life is short. That's what you need, the revelation, the Word of God. That's what I need. And no matter what goes on, guys, the Word of the Lord will stand forever. We always claim to be people of the Word. Let's really be people of the Word. Let's be people that disciple one another to help and share over the overflow of all of the good and the riches that God has taught us. And what'll be the result? More and more we'll look like our Master, Jesus, and more we'll bring honor to His name. Singers, why don't you guys come on up? Let's close this out here with a song. And right after this, what do we do? Go get our children! But there's somebody there that you just got a fellowship with, so you know what you do with them? Put your arm around them, and you walk them all the way to the children's ministry, having the best fellowship of your life, right? And pick up those kids. Thank you, guys. Let's all stand.